Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it is an absolutely fabulous day here in the South. I'm not sure what it is around you, but my guests like to share that she lives in Arizona, and it's really cooler than it is here in the South, and that is making me kind of jealous. So, boy, you know, it's really something to find out. I always like to talk about people on the show, where they live, how things are around them, how life is going on, and, you know, because it kind of connects us all together. We realize, you know, we are all the same. We just have different variances in our life. So if you're in a great place in the Northeast and you're looking at all those colored leaves that I so jealously miss, you can always send me pictures on Facebook or on my website. There is an email address, and I'll be more than happy to share those with others. And again, thank you for that, because you're sharing with me something that's near and dear to my heart, and that's a changing of the seasons. Just as the seasons change, we're looking at Naturopathic Medicine Awareness Week. We never thought it would happen. We said it couldn't be done. No, no way. Those physicians, they don't know what they're talking about. They're Birkenstocks and green jars, you know, of this goop. They're not medicine. Well, this is the first annual Naturopathic Medicine Awareness Week. Can you honestly believe it? I couldn't believe it myself until I actually had to read the piece of paper where the Senate bill passed said that naturopathic medicine is cost-effective, it's affordable, it's safe, it's effective to all ages, and it is healthcare. Can you believe that? I think when we look back in history, naturopathic medicine, homeopathy, botanical medicine, they were always around for all of those centuries and centuries long ago. Really, what we think of healthcare and medicine now is more based in technology. And what I mean by that is because now we are making drugs and we are having x-rays and bigger machines and lots more surgeries and replacing knees and elbows and arms, and it's just totally different in healthcare. And I like to call it technology healthcare, because the more advanced our education and our, I guess it's, you conceptualize something and you really take it forward with all the technology these days. That's the healthcare we're looking at now. So bringing back naturopathic medicine is not a new age guru idea. It's really always been on the table. It hasn't changed. We're doing the same therapies now that they've done hundreds of years ago. And if you look at the New Orleans Pharmacy Museum, in the 1800s, when you open up the front door, it's here in New Orleans, and you look at the first case right in front of you, they have tons of small vials of little white pellets, which is homeopathy, and right next to it is stacks of books. And those are all doctor's notes on botanical medicine. The plants, which part of the plant they used, what do they use it for, how do they use it. So this is not new age. This is just remembering what we've done before and continuing along that path. So today we'll be speaking about naturopathic medicine and botanical medicine with Dr. Naz Vasighi. And she is in Arizona, as I've said in the beginning, and she and I both went to the same school, although in different years. I did not have the pleasure of meeting her then, but we went to Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine in Tempe, Arizona. It's important to also understand, when we speak about botanical medicine and naturopathic medicine, that we did go to the four-year postgraduate accredited school. As the Senate bill does designate, naturopathic physicians do go to a four-year postgraduate accredited school, because we're not saying that Dr. Naz and I sat down, read a few books, paid some money online, and got a degree or letters or something to put next to our name, and now we're out there helping you. So you will know that our therapies and our treatments and the way we sit down and listen to you as a patient is all-encompassing. We know about the biology, the chemistry, your nutrition, all of these things, your mental, emotional, and your lifestyle. That is what naturopathic medicine is. So today, let's focus on botanical medicine. Dr. Naz, I'd like to welcome you to the show. It'll be a great day speaking about botanical medicine, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm quite delighted to be here.
Thank you so much for being with us. And as I've said in the beginning, do you agree naturopathic medicine is never, ever gone anywhere? It's just been put in the closet, and now there's no door.
Absolutely. You know, when I first started to get interest in naturopathic medicine, I remember talking to a lot of my family members about it and my interest in it. And, you know, my parents remember times when they were growing up that if they became ill, their grandparents at the time would always go into the backyard, pull out a few herbs and things like that and make a nice tea or some other kind of concoction from it. And they would take it and they'd feel better. So it's something that has been going on for so many generations. And I'm very, very pleased to see that it's starting to gain the recognition that it really deserves in the modern medicine.
I think when finally people are coming to the point in this generation where they've been taking medications for years, maybe let's say an example of a headache. I took it when I was in my 20s. In the 70s and 80s, and I got more medications. Then I had, you know, menopause, and then I had kids, and then I had this, that, and the other, and you're still having headaches. And then finally, eventually, now in the year 2013, a lot of the people in the 50s, 60s, and 70s age group are going to the doctor, and they're saying, oh, my gosh, I'm stage what? Or I have what? And it's really been a time of, have you given all these medications all along? And it really did not address the root cause of what even was going on, because all you've really done is held it back. And it's sort of like holding a dam back. You know, the higher the wall you build in front of the dam, you can build it higher and higher and higher every year with a different complaint or a different seepage. But what's going to happen? It's going to go out the back door. And that is what I always believe with patients, is that if you keep holding this back and taking this drug and it'll be okay, just do this, do this, do this, and you feel like you're up against that chain link fence, it's just going to propel you the other way, and you're going to end up with chronic disease, replace this or that, or cancer this or that, and how hard that is for a lot of people to understand. So
very
I think
true.
We... How, you know, what are your thoughts? Have you seen this in your practice?
I have quite a bit, in fact. And I think that's one of the things that really drew me to naturopathic medicine is the fact, like you mentioned, that we really do focus on removing and identifying that root cause of why disease or dysfunction takes place in the first place. And I've had so many patients who come to me sort of as a last resort, and I've talked to other naturopathic physicians who've had the same experience where, you know, patients will come with a laundry list of medications that have been put onto their list as a result to treat a side effect of another medication they were taking. And so by the time they come to us, they're quite ill, and they're also quite fed up with not having any results with all these medicines. So that's one of the things that I love so much about what it is that we do, is that really understanding why things go wrong in the body and then addressing it with therapies that really do help to correct those dysfunctions in the first place.
And I think of late, since I'm in my later 50s, I've found that people are starting to come to us as naturopathic physicians because their doctors are turning around and saying to them, I have nothing more for you. I can't help you anymore. Maybe you should think about hospice. Maybe you should think about just living this way or quitting your job or, you know, whatever that may be. And they're coming to us at the last minute. That is one step. But also, you know, I'm sure you've had this, is where that my doctor told me I have to do this. Oh, my gosh. And they're coming to us on a Monday, and their surgery is on Friday, and we're supposed to fix them between Monday and Friday, you know?
Right.
And it's like, how can we maybe start the trend, which is why I've been doing these shows, is to let people know, start doing smaller things along the way, and maybe when you hit that wall, it won't disintegrate. Mm-hmm. It won't put you, you know, into just a place you cannot recover from.
Right.
So how about we talk about botanical medicine today? Can you give us a little bit of your background about botanical medicine and what you've learned and why you think it's so important?
So I, in my studies, I was very excited about learning about botanical medicine. I used to work in a pharmacy for many years and really became disheartened with how people were coming in and getting so many prescriptions. And so when I got interested in naturopathic medicine and coming to school, I was very excited about the use of botanicals as medicine. And so while I was at school, I got quite a bit of training in botanical medicine and also on rotations that focused on that as the primary therapy to give to patients. I also have a background in biology where I was able to focus on, you know, learning sort of the more boring parts of plants, you know, how they're structured and how they're able to grow and things like that. So I've had quite a bit of that in my experience, and it's a big part of my practice. I've seen that a lot of times with patients that botanical herbs and different types of things that I use with them, you know, the body seems to have a wisdom in its own where it can actually take these medicines and it can adjust what it needs to do based on the medicine. So if someone tends to be low in a hormone or too high in a hormone, taking one herb will actually help adjust it to the normal level without making it go too much in one direction or the other. So there's just this really nice innate wisdom of the body and with using these herbs that just make for a fantastic therapy.
I think when we talk about botanical medicine, we're not talking about going outside, pulling up some roots out of your yard and say, let's plop this in a pot. I read it on the internet, and I know it's good, and I know it's safe. So Dr. Naz and I will be emphasizing that plants are medicine. It is very, very important to note that, because when you do pull up something out of your yard, you don't know what's been sprayed on it. You don't know which part of the plant you're specifically using. You also don't even know if that plant is the right plant that you think it is. You can compare all the pictures you like, but if you really don't know what you're doing, it is a rather not something you dabble in, correct?
Absolutely. It's very important for these types of things that you talk to a practitioner, a naturopathic physician, or an herbalist specifically, that will be able to address the specific conditions that you may have with the best herbs that are going to be individualized for you. So, you know, people think that they can just, like you mentioned, pull some things out of the ground and do something with it. But in some instances, you know, there are some herbs that can be a little bit harmful because they tend to be toxic in certain amounts. So please make sure that for all you listeners out there that you do consult a licensed naturopath or herbalist for those things.
Because also, too, when you're taking medications already, or if you already have a medical condition, it's not just something that you want to dabble in, just like over-the-counter things. Do you really just go to the pharmacy and say, that box looks pretty, it's pink and blue, and let me just take it? You don't. You really do make a conscious decision, you know, with your best information, and you do make a conscious decision what you're going to be able to take. We're saying the same thing about plants. They're beautiful. They have a lot of factors. But if you take just one plant, and let's just take an oak tree. We always talk about oak trees on this show. But if you're looking at it, it has acorns. It has leaves. It has seed pods, it has branches, bark, inner bark, roots, And those are just a few of the items or parts of that plant. And each one of those has a different chemical composition. And each one of those different chemical compositions is for something totally different.
Right.
So have you found that also?
Absolutely. For example, one of the herbs that I do use in my practice quite a bit is dandelion. And so the whole dandelion plant, you'll see that there are different actions or different things that the parts of the dandelion plant will do. And so, for instance, you'll have dandelion leaf and dandelion root, which, although they are part of the same plant, do different things in the body and also have specific organs that they address. So, for instance, the root addresses more liver issues, while the leaf will actually address more urinary tract issues. So it's very important, again, because of this fact that we are mindful that we can't just sort of rip anything up out of the ground. But that's kind of what's amazing, I think, about plants is that they are so versatile and that there is so much therapies and treatments that you can get out of them.
I think the coolest thing, too, also about dandelion is that everybody goes around and they rip it out of the yard and I'm going to put some poison on it. Because I lived in the Northeast, they had dandelion flowers everywhere. And people just said, oh, I don't want it. It's nasty, nasty. But then they always wonder why their dogs have fleas. It's because they pulled up the dandelions out of their yard. Dandelions are the best thing for fleas. You just leave them there. Sure. The dog goes out and rolls around in them. And, you know, by the time they're out rolling around in them, they don't have any fleas and they come in the house. So plants really have so many very different mechanisms that it's really important to look at all of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And also we think about chemicals and what is sprayed on plants, where plants come from. There's always this controversy about botanical medicines. Are they safe? Well, the are they safe is where did it come from? What company has it? What kind of testing have they done? And we as naturopathic physicians can tell you we only purchase from reliable companies that are generally smaller companies based only for us, and we know what's in them, correct?
Yes, that's something that's very important. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to actually visit the farm and factory of a brand that I use in my office. And while going to the factory, they were showing us the process of which they purify and extract all of the necessary and important components of a plant to give it its therapeutic effect. And while we were there, they actually showed us a box full of things that they had found in a bunch of plants that they received from overseas. So, you know, there are some types of plants that we can grow in the U.S., but because of different climates, we require that we get some different kinds of plants from different countries around the world. So in this box, they brought out so many different things. They brought out what I saw were metal blades, actually different kinds of bones, all these sorts of things that you would not expect to see in plants, and that if they're not isolated or purified well enough, they could end up in the supplement. So it's so important to be able to purchase supplements that have lots of herbs in them that are from a professional or pharmaceutical-grade company.
Just today I read another article about a hospital that is having the parents sign a disclaimer waiver because the hospital is no longer going to allow supplements, botanicals, vitamins, any of these items in their hospital. And while we can see that that may be very important, they made the argument about the safety. And Dr. Naz and I will be the first to tell you it is very important to know about the safety. We stand behind the safety of the products that we recommend. And also, we do not advocate just randomly, hey, I saw this on the internet. It had a 50% off coupon. What do you think? And it's like, Well, let me look at it, right? And have you not had
definitely.
To do that?
I have. You know, a lot of times people don't know that if they do find any kind of a supplement with either vitamins or herbs in them, that a lot of times if they are discounted or, you know, they seem to have a low price compared to other places where you can find them at, it might be an indication of it being expired. As you mentioned, we don't really know exactly where these ingredients came from. Were they purified? Were they sprayed with anything in terms of pesticides, which could possibly cause further harm in your body? So I have had quite a lot of patients who come in, and you know, it's good for them because they do try to take that first step and say, you know, I really wanted to move away from my medications and incorporate something more natural in. And so I started to take these supplements. But then oftentimes I'll need to kind of tweak that a little bit because some of the companies in which they buy these supplements from aren't the most reliable and best for their health.
And I think so many times people will say, but they have them down the corner. Or my so-and-so friend, you know, she has this multi-level thing. Now, do keep in mind we are not bashing this at any factor. But what we are stating is the facts. The facts are you need to know what you're doing, need to know your source, and you need to know the questions to ask to be able to have a safe product, correct?
Definitely, definitely. That's very important because the more we have the general public educated about this factor, hopefully then we can really reduce any adverse effects that may come from taking these supplements that are not necessarily due to the herbs themselves, but due to other factors.
So let's get back to talking about our favorite herbs. How about that? My favorite one is hawthorn. And
oh,
hawthorn,
wonderful.
I mean, because I'm older and, of course, Dr. Naz is a little bit younger, she quite hasn't taken those hawthorns every single day or, you know. But
right.
I think it's definitely an age factor. It happens to be almost all the women that I know over 40 seem to be already on hawthorn. And if they're not, once they try a very good quality hawthorn, they're like, I cannot leave the house without taking it. And that is absolutely great. That's great to know because how many times do people say, my doctor gave me a prescription, but I left it on my kitchen counter, so I have to go back and I have to go take it. You'll go back and you'll take that little, you know, orange bottle, but very rarely does anybody really want to run out and take their herbs or something. They just don't think of it as important. But once you start taking hawthorn, you do.
Yes, very true. Very true. It's so delicious, even if you, especially if you have the specific kind where you can have the syrup. But it just does so many things, not only on a molecular level by, you know, influencing a lot of things for your heart, but also on the energetic level. My
Ooh,
top five herbs
you.
As well.
We lost your sound for a second there.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. Okay.
Okay.
So say that again, what you said about hawthorn.
Oh, I was just mentioning that not only is it very, very tasty, especially if you have it in the glycerite form, but it has so many functions in the body that not only does it work on the molecular level by influencing better circulation for your heart, but it also has an energetic effect as well in terms of opening the heart, which is very, very nice as well.
I think what I love about hawthorn is it's just the overall good feeling. And it has, it's just, I think of it and I describe it to clients as nutrition for your heart. Because it really is nutrition. It's not something that's going to go in and, while it does have all those properties to do that, when we think of it as nutrition, we think of it as the feel good. When you take it, you just plain feel good. And hawthorn is something that when you sometimes can get these heart-type herbs, and they come in teas and tinctures, but sometimes they're a little bit mild. So what I have found with hawthorn is the solid extract, which is you just take a spoon and dip it in. It's just so lovely. I've even had people before with end-of-life time, and we would leave it on the table, And they would just be sitting there just taking it. I'm like, okay, now, you know, 2 spoons is good, you know, let it to the side. But they're like, you know, it just makes me feel good. Mm-hmm. So that's a perfect example of, you know, a very good herb. But then we'll look at, let's look at nettles. Nettles is something that in the Northeast, it is growing everywhere because my son used to go clean up the weeds around my mother's house. And he would get all these dings in his ankle, and they would swell up. It was the nettles, you know, that was working on him with his asthma. And it was like, okay, it's nettles. Maybe you're not going to go pull those weeds anymore.
Right.
You know? But you really don't know what's growing around you. So all these botanical medicines are around us. We just don't really know what they are or what they're used for. So we're not like pulling these botanicals out of the air saying, this foreign herb and I only have 10 seeds of it and it is so expensive. That's not really true. Most of our medicines are growing all around us, right?
Yes. It's interesting because, you know, I'm originally from Colorado, and during my breaks from school, I would go home and visit. And, you know, there's so much shrubbery around our neighborhood and around our house. And it really wasn't until I had gone and started to really study botanical medicine that when we would take these walks around our neighborhood, which we always did when I was home, I was starting to notice I was able to identify so many plants. And one of those plants that we saw was echinacea. And I know a lot of people may have already heard about this herb because it tends to be very good for the cold and flu season. But it was just brilliant to see that it was growing, you know, very profusely all over the neighborhood. And people won't even know what that is until they actually may get some information and study it. So they are around us.
And as we all know in Arizona, with the cactus, aloe is the best, and so is cactus, because with the aloe, I can remember getting the worst sunburn in the world. And my daughter, we had a big, huge aloe plant on the porch. She went out, took all the leaves off of it, sliced them down the middle, and laid all the leaves right on my sunburn. And it was so wonderful, and the sunburn was gone the next day. So that is definitely an example of how powerful plants can be.
Absolutely.
So another plant I was thinking about, too, is the California poppy. Now, the California poppy in herbal form is probably not something you dabble with. But as you've said in Colorado, when I went home to California, I saw these poppies everywhere. And my son said, oh, they're just, you're not able to pick them, but they're all over the place. And I was thinking, how neat that all these California poppies were wild, protected, and how powerful that medicine is.
Absolutely. It's really amazing that, especially you can notice that in different geographical locations, like you mentioned, California, Colorado, up in the mountains of Montana, or even on the East Coast, there's such a wide variety of these plants growing everywhere, obviously depending on the climate. And the hidden potential in all of them is something that, you know, once you start to master these skills, you can really be able to identify them. I have a good friend who actually used to work as a plant biologist in California, and it's always such a treat being with him on hikes or things like that, because he's able to identify all these plants and incorporate that in with his naturopathic knowledge and really be able to know, you know, if he was out in the wild and something would happen, that he'd be able to identify and know what to do if something had arisen, much like your sunburn, you know, for that. But it's really, really cool to see that you're able to do that.
And when we talk about herbs and how powerful they are, they're also very mild and effective. So let's talk about herbs giving to children. What are your favorite herbs for children, and how do you find kids like to take them?
Kids, you know, because they are kids, a lot of it rests on taste. So the most important thing to consider is this herb or this concoction that you've made going to be tasty enough for the child to want to drink or put it in their mouth? It's going to be a little harder to get them to swallow pills, so really the best thing to do is give them what's called a glycerite. And for kids, you know, there's quite a bit of herbs that you can use. For instance, there's licorice, which can be quite tasty, depending on who you talk to, but also has a lot of great antiviral effects. For cold and flu season, another one that's very easy to give to children is also very tasty is elderberry, as they take the extract from the direct berry itself and make a very, very nice sweet glycerite and also syrup that you can drink down. So those tend to be really great for cold and flu season, especially now that we're getting into that time of year. But I like those two the best.
I know with my own kids, I would always dump the herbs into their orange juice and send them off to school with that. And their friends would say, "Can I have some?" And they're like, "No, it's my herbs. You can't have it." You know, because my kids knew that you didn't share your medicine with anybody. But it was the best way to sneak medicine into the school, and they really didn't pay much attention to it. These days, of course, you can't do that, but this is in the 70s and 80s. So my kids all got away with it then. And I've had a lot of families lately with little newborns, 1, 2, and 3-year-olds. And what I have done is you get a syringe from the drugstore and a little tiny syringe. And what you do is you take the tip off of it because you don't want them to swallow any tips whatsoever, no matter how good they are on there. And even if they're clamped closed in their teeth, like they're not going to take it, you just go between their teeth and their cheek and squirt it back there, and it misses all the taste buds. So they don't even taste it anymore, and it just goes right down. I know I've done this with so many babies. It has been the best. With toddlers, you know, and they're kicking and screaming at you, and you just know you just really need to get this down. Even if they bite on it, it's even better, because when they bite on it, then you just squirt it, and it goes right down. As long as it doesn't touch the tongue, you're good to go.
That's a great idea. That's why you have all the experience after all this time, and that's a great tip for me and for any other new docs out there, or even anyone who's getting herbs specifically for their children. I know I've heard people doing that for medications for their dogs and cats as well. And being in the naturopathic community, I also see a lot of people who give herbs to their dogs and cats, obviously, because they've got the knowledge, but they'll use the same syringe method as well. So that's a great idea.
It works well. And you know, you say about animals, I just had a woman, I was working with her for probably 2 years on and off, different things that would come up for her. And about 2 months ago, she called me and she said, "I know you don't deal with it, but my dog, there's something wrong." So we just started working with the dog. And she would tell me different things, and I would say, "Okay, try this, try this, try this." And then it came down to it about 3 weeks ago. And she says, "You know, I'm out there all the time. The dog just doesn't look good, and I'm laying out there talking to the dog all the time." And I said, "You know what? The dog is really needing to go, and you're not letting him. So I need you to schedule your times. And when you leave, tell him you're going to come back later, and it's okay if he'd like to go in the meantime." Only 2 or 3 days of that, after she let up, she went and she took her own herbs herself, her hawthorn and everything, to keep herself calm and stable, and the dog passed away. But she had been so tied to this animal. He was going to make it. There was no doubt she was forcing this on the dog, that the dog was going to be well. That the dog just wanted to go. So then now we're back again working on her, on letting it go. So herbs are very good for that also, but we also have to remember, how far can we in naturopathic medicine, with all of our therapies, including botanical medicine, how far can we really take that patient when their patient just is really, this is, you know, they need to stand up. They need to say, "I'm ready to go," or "I don't want to do that therapy," or "I really like this one," or "I really don't like that one." So in naturopathic medicine and botanical medicine, if you're giving something to the patient and they're saying, "That's not for me," that's really important, because plants, and they have a signature base, so they kind of talk to us. If you're kind of holding your hand, you're saying, "Nah, I just don't feel right on this." We can always say fabulous and go to the next one. So I think that really gives us a lot of tools in our bag, so to speak, with botanicals, you know. There's not just one for the heart. There's about hundreds for the heart, you know.
Right.
How many for the
right.
cold? There's tons for the cold. You don't feel connected to this one? Hey, let's try another one. And I think that's really the most powerful part, you know, of botanicals.
Definitely. And that also really speaks to one of our tenets as naturopathic physicians, which is, you know, individualizing the treatment. Because a lot of people will go to, you know, allopathic doctors or the regular doctors, and they usually get one treatment or one drug for, you know, their concern. Well, sometimes that doesn't work for everybody. And so having a toolbox as nice and large, especially with botanical medicine, and as you mentioned, hundreds and hundreds of herbs for so many different conditions, we're really able to hone on into those several herbs that will be most optimal for someone's condition and get them feeling better faster.
And we can also use compounds in mixes, too, because it's not just always having to be a single herb, which I think is great, too.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
And the way I talk about compounds with patients, I'll say, okay, we're feeling really strong about this one, so we're going to think of it as a tree in the forest. But you know what? The tree in the forest kind of needs all those little other plants around it. So we're going to put some supporting ones in there to hold it up. And they're like, okay. You know, and I kind of paint a picture because some people find it hard to understand botanical medicine, how important it may be. But, you know, everything in nature, as naturopathic medicine, the healing power of nature, everything is combined. Everything is in association. We have trees here that have a ton of the Spanish moss on. And then underneath it, you have ferns growing up the trees. And then you have these little purple flowers that crop out the other side. And everything is what we call symbiotic. Everything goes together. Everything feeds off each other. So as botanical medicine, if you know, if we're just giving a plant, we're really giving a plant along with a few other plants to really nurture yourself. So have you had any conversations, or how do you talk to your people about botanical medicine, why you felt it was so important for them?
Definitely. And, you know, sometimes I just use the regular analogy of, you know, a lot of the constituents or sort of the most important piece of a plant, the one that actually performs the action on the body to make a change, is, you know, what you would find in regular medications, but just a synthetic form. We've seen that in a few heart medications where it's actually using, you know, something that they've constructed in the laboratory that looks exactly the same as the plant that would help your heart, you know, in terms of heartbeat or hypertension or things like that. So a way I sort of explain to my patients that it's sort of a more natural way of doing it. And then also in terms of using a compound, I always explain that, you know, when we use several herbs together, they work together quite synergistically. So that ultimately when you take the herbs in a form like four or five together, let's say in a tincture format, you end up getting, you know, the result of them all working together is much, much higher than just the sum of the parts or if they were working as singles. So, you know, tying that into the wisdom of body of knowing exactly what to do with those herbs and having it tonify and actually improve their condition, you know, those are usually the types of things that I use to help my patients understand how it works in the body.
So let's talk a little bit about dosage and length of treatment. Sometimes people say, oh, I took the herbs, I took it in the morning, and I took it at night for the first day, and then after that I kind of forgot. But, you know, it kind of went away, and then it kind of didn't go away. And, well, I really don't know if that really did anything for me, you know. Or you'll have some people who, you know, with the hawthorn, they don't leave the house without it. They have little bottles of it all over the place. So what have you found in how you talk to your patients about dosing and, like, how long do you take these items?
You know, so in terms of length, it's going to depend on the severity of their condition and what they're coming in for. You know, but in terms of taking the medication, consistency is probably one of the most important things because, you know, once you start to take some kind of a tincture with some herbs in it, then you'll notice that it'll have an effect that will last for, you know, about a day or so, but then after that, the effect will go away. So if we continue to have someone dose daily and keep that up for a minimum of about, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, then they should be able to notice a considerable difference in how they're feeling after that time, because it will allow the herbs to help adjust what needs to be adjusted in the body so that they start to function better. So, you know, it will depend, but, you know, I would say that a good time to maybe look at sort of basic, how long will you take? It was about a month, and then usually my patients will come back. We'll talk a little bit about how they felt on it. Do they see any changes? Might give them a little extra time, and if it doesn't work for them, then we change to something else.
And I think, too, when we think of botanical medicine, we have said in the beginning of this conversation that pharmaceuticals are on the constituents that are from botanicals, that are from plants and herbs and trees and grasses and everything. But when you take a pharmaceutical, you turn around and you want a result. Hey, doc, you know, I'm on my lunch hour. I got to be good to go by tonight because I'm going out. You know, that's the mentality
right.
of what you think when you're taking a pharmaceutical. When you're taking an herb, it really has to be a different mindset. And the mindset would be is that I'm going to allow my body to heal this through. Instead of, hey, doc, you know, I've got a headache. You best stop it now. You've got an hour. But when you
right.
try botanical, it's like I have a headache, and it's like, okay, let's see how bad it's going to get and what will change with that, you know?
Definitely.
How can they reason that out? What have you found?
You know, it's, as you said, it's really a change of mindset or paradigm. A lot of medications that people get from their regular doctors are simply a Band-Aid. So someone has, you know, like you said, a big event to go to. They've got a headache popping up. They have a history of having migraines, and it just happened to be that they have one that evening. And they need something to just quell that symptom so that they can go on about what they do. But with naturopathic medicine and in general the types of therapies we use, it's very different. Because in that sense, we're not placing a Band-Aid on it. We may give something that will palliate their symptoms, but over time with the use of these herbs, you'll actually see changes in their body so that you are correcting the dysfunction that was once there. So it's really about getting the patients on board and understanding that and sort of erasing, you know, 32 to let's say 50, 60 years of what they've become used to knowing as medicine and how that works, and, you know, making sure that they see that this is something that's going to actually have a permanent effect by really improving their conditions over time.
So when we talk about, too, with botanical medicine, we are talking about teas, and a lot of people these days see a lot of these teas with this, that, and the other. And how effective are those as medicines? I know myself, I would be like, well, that's great. And it's like, what company was that made by? And it's like, how much did you say you got out of that? And it really didn't do anything. Yeah, well, no wonder. So, you know, teas mm-hmm. are great in some instances, but teas are not great in others where you really need to get a heavy dose of a very, I guess I would say, effective dose of the plant.
Right.
I'm sure you've had that.
Yes. I've seen a lot of people who will come in and say, you know, doc, I've got this condition. I tried to buy the local tea from, you know, one of their local health food stores or even just the regular grocery store, and I tried it, and it just really didn't work out. And then you take a look at the herb that they try to use in the tea, and one of the things that you may notice is that that herb just doesn't really do well in just having it taken in a tea form. Sometimes some constituents or the active components of the herb that make the difference don't really do well by coming out just in water. Sometimes they need to be in an alcohol extraction, something like a tincture, or ground up and put into a capsule. So you may not get the most effective dose by doing that. And again, you mentioned sort of the safety factor. Do we know exactly how they got these plants? Where did they come from? Were they sprayed with pesticides? Is there any heavy metals in them that we should be concerned about? So, again, that's also one of those things that you should always look to your local naturopath or herbalist for more information.
When I had gone to naturopathic school and we started to do herbs, I was a type of person. I love nature. I'll lay down in any grass or any place I can go to. But when we got into the classroom or we got into the companies that were producing these herbs, I would have the worst headache because I just couldn't bear the concentration and the extra smell. And I'm the type of person who, tea, are you kidding me? There is no way in Dickens' world that I'm going to go anywhere near teas. And I'm sure Dr. Naz will attest to this, but Chinese medicine teas, oh my word, they smell like, here's my description, they smell like dirty dogs something. I don't know. It's pretty bad. It's like this raunch smell. And I would have a migraine like nobody's business. And that just attests to the powerfulness of the herb that was even in the air in these places. But I was so glad to know, you know, that, hey, oh, great, I'll take an herb, but don't you dare come at me with a tea. You know, if I don't have to smell it, I'm good to go. If I can just take it and just be done with it, I'm okay. But the smell, it was just something that was just like, oh, there was nobody's business. So with botanical medicine, you know, as we were saying, if you say, I can't stand the smell, we have another way to get it in. Or if you can't stand the taste, we have another way we can do it. You know, or I hate pills, we have another way we can do it. So there are many different ways that you can get botanicals in.
Definitely. That's what makes them so fantastic, because of that versatility. And I do remember sometimes having to boil some very, very stinky and also unpalatable herbs that also kind of made me say, you know, if we're ever going to do Chinese herbs, I'd rather just pop a few pills and call it a day.
Yes.
I think a lot of people feel the same way about that.
You so cannot get that smell out of your house. There's just something about it. You have to throw the pot away. You really need to just go open the house and go away for a day or two. I could not get the smell out of the house. It was like, I don't know how these people do it. But, hey, you know, what's great for one is not great for another. And it was, I have a lot of friends who loved it, but there was, you do not bring that stuff in my house. If it stinks, it's not coming, you know?
Yeah, so. I will say that there are some herbs, though, that are quite pleasant as a tea. Like, for instance, mint is really great as a tea. It smells lovely. It tastes lovely. And it has such good effects on the digestion. And so, you know, I've noticed that the ones that I tend to have more of a tough time with are those plants that tend to be, you know, you use the roots of them. So they've been in the dirt and, you know, Chinese medicines as well. You know, but there are some things, you know, just to let our listeners know that they're not all stinky, but, you know, some ones around that are quite good as well.
But that's also for the patient to let us know, because there's some
Definitely.
That they'll love. They'll absolutely love, and we want to know the ones that they do love, the smell and the taste of, because usually that's an indication that your body may need that. The ones that are not so palatable, maybe your inner body is saying, I just don't like that, you know.
Definitely.
So that is the power of another individualized care that naturopathic medicine is able to do.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it really helps also to increase what we call patient compliance with that too, because if it tastes good and it's palatable and they can get it down because they like it, they'll continue to take it every time, just like you mentioned with the hawthorn. People love to take it. If you give someone a tincture that has a lot of really great herbs that will do the trick, but they don't taste so good, your patients won't take it. And so we have to be cognizant about that, as you said.
Now, I've had one patient, when I said to them, make sure you bring all your bottles in, and you know what they did? When you're on your way to the appointment, they open their window and they dump all the bottle out on the street, and then they come in. And you know that because it's still dripping. Because they were like, oh, yeah, I took it. I'll bet I can see it out in the parking lot. So it is really important to be able to work with, you know, a patient and say, what would you feel comfortable with? You know, smell this before you leave. Taste this before you leave. Do you think you can do it? And that is 100% on compliance. Because, you know, you can go to even a cardiologist, a regular doctor, and he'll say, here's a diet. Follow this, and they'll give you a sheet of paper. Well, guess where that sheet of paper goes when you're checking out at the office?
Exactly.
In the garbage can. You know, so compliance is 1,000% of the game. Coming in and listening to me and telling me your story, you want something to work. So being able to give us the information and we give it back to you, but then also seeing, does this work, is the game.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
Well, Dr. Naz, we have about 5 to 7 more minutes. If you could tell us a little bit more about where you're located, your website, if anyone could be able to reach you, and possibly, you know, to be able to connect with you to find out more about what you do.
Absolutely. So I'm currently based out of Tempe, Arizona. I have an office here, and I see private patients, and we do lots of different therapies, including botanical medicine and homeopathy. I also work a lot with nutrition. And if you'd like to contact me, I do always offer all of my potential patients a free 15-minute consultation so we can chat about what it is that you'd like to work on and see if we'd be a good fit for each other. So my website is actually currently under construction as I'm revamping it. So at this point, the best way to get a hold of me would be 2 options. One is you can call me directly at my office line. And that number is area code 623-282-2242. Or you can send me an email at drvasighi@gmail.com. It's D-R, V as in Victor, A, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, IGHI@gmail.com.
And also, even to the listeners, if you are very interested in what we've spoken about today, you can always contact either myself or Dr. Naz, and we will be able to refer someone in your area. Let's say if you're in a different part of the country or something, we can always find someone else in your area through our referral base that you will be able to go to in your area, because that is kind of important. Sometimes people don't always want to just talk on the telephone. They really want to be, you know, face-to-face with someone.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm more than happy to always find the best fit for anybody who's really interested in getting some naturopathic care, because ultimately it's what the patient needs in order to be able to succeed, and that's the most important thing.
Well, it was really great talking to you today. I know that we've spoken and touched on botanical medicine all week. We've touched on naturopathic medicine all week. But I really believe that the more times we hear the language, the more times we'll be able to understand what we're saying. Because naturopathic medicine, botanical medicine, homeopathy, all of these different types of therapies, you really need to hear it different ways, from different people, different circumstances. And eventually you'll say, you know, that's something I think I'm going to look into further. So it was really great to have you with us today, Dr. Naz. And if anyone would like to contact Dr. Naz, her information is on the show page description today. So Dr. Naz, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. And also, if you've had any other questions for Dr. Naz, you can also listen through this show, and you will be able to get her contact information there. Dr. Naz, are you still on the line? Could you give us your contact information one more time?
I sure can. You can call me directly at my office number at area code 623-282-2242. Or you can send me an email at drvasighi@gmail.com. That's D-R, V as in Victor, A, S as in Sam, S as in Sam, IGHI@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for that information. So to the listeners, if you'd like more information, please contact Dr. Naz directly. If you'd like, you may also contact me, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher at Out of the Box Healthcare. Today is Friday. We have a few more shows on naturopathic medicine, but this will become a regular weekly show. So have a wonderful day. If you'd like to contact us, please do. And I hope you have a great weekend. Thank you for being with us.